continue looking at the subject of worship. We spent a lot of time looking at the fact that worship is in spirit. Tonight we want to just spend tonight and see that worship, the boundaries of worship, are spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Every single aspect of worship we've already seen is to be in spirit. That is also true concerning the truth. Every single aspect of worship must be within the boundaries of truth. This is very, very important. Truth is a very distinct line. It is a reality. It does exist. We are being told today that there's no such thing as truth. But truth is a reality. John wrote in 1 John 4, verse 6, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there is truth, there is error. What constitutes error? Anything that is contrary to truth, to any degree, would constitute error. Remember, Pilate asked, what is truth? What is truth? And many today believe that truth is relative, truth is subjective. By that we simply mean it is defined by situations, it is defined by people, it is defined by cultures. If that were so, then truth would always be in a state of flux and would always be left to the reasonings of man. But truth is not adjusted to adapt to our circumstances. It is not adjusted to adapt to our situations. And many believe that truth, of course, is ambiguous. That is, at best, it is doubtful and it is uncertain. And who can really know the truth? Because, again, it's doubtful. It's uncertain. But in spite of man's many different views and opinions of truth, it's not relative. It's not subjective. And it certainly is not ambiguous. Truth is absolute. Truth is fact. Truth is fixed. It is certain. It is constant. It is immovable. It's unaffected. Truth is unaffected by situations and circumstances and cultures. That is, it's not changed by these things. Truth is inflexible. Truth is narrow. Now, people today find it, take offense if you were to say that they were narrow-minded. They take offense at that. But truth is narrow. Jesus taught that truth is narrow. I believe you can represent truth with a razor blade. It's that narrow. And you can fall off on either side. And doesn't matter which side you fall off on, the left side or the right side, doesn't matter. It's error. Once you fall off, you're now in error. Truth is narrow. Truth is distinctly black and white with no shades of gray. So truth does not cease to be. Truth never becomes obsolete. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, this is all leading up to the fact that worship must be in truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, Paul said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds." That was his circumstances. But the word of God is not bound. But the word of God is not changed. And then notice in verse 13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." Whatever we do does not change God. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And what that means is he cannot deny who he is. He cannot cease to be who he is. Now, truth is universal. That is, it is the same in every place. It is the same in every time. It is the same in every circumstance. And it is the same for every people. We must worship him in truth. Truth is correctness. It's to be correct. Truth is a standard. It is a standard of measure. Therefore, again, whatever is contrary to it is incorrect. Whatever is contrary to it is error. And Jesus plainly declared in John 4, 23 and 24, he said, "True worshipers," that is, as opposed to false worshipers. He didn't just say worshipers. He said true worshipers. So he made a distinction between true worshipers and false worshipers. True worshipers must worship him, shall worship the Father in truth, in spirit, and in truth. So truth is a mark for true worshipers. You cannot truly worship God and deny the truth. You cannot truly worship God and be void of the truth. Truth is imperative. Again, Jesus said, "They that worship him must worship him in truth." So true worship is grounded and based upon truth. True worship must be in agreement, must be in conformity to truth. I do not believe that you can worship, truly worship God, while in opposition to or offended by truth. John 6, verses 60 through 66, we see Jesus was teaching, and what he was teaching was basically the sovereignty of God. And the disciples, those who professed Christ with their lips, were offended. They were offended, and Jesus asked the question, "Doth this offend you?" They could not worship God in that state. You cannot worship God when you are offended by truth, because worship must be in truth. Now, true worship, again, must be in truth. That means that true worship must be according to the truth about God. It must be in accordance with the truth about God. You see, we've already said that truth is a standard. It is a standard of measure. But truth also must have a standard. Truth must have a standard. And contrary to popular belief, the standard for truth is not man's opinion. The standard for truth is not the reasonings of man, and it is not the traditions of man, institutions of learning, politicians, the rich, the famous, preachers, churches are not the standard for truth. So what is the standard for truth? God. God is truth. And God is the standard for truth. Anything contrary to God, anything in opposition to God, is error, is false. God is unchangeable. He's the standard for truth. The standard for truth is unchangeable. The standard for truth is inflexible. God is truth. He is the standard for truth. We are told throughout the Word of God that He is a God of truth. Deuteronomy 32:4, Psalm 31:5. He is a God of truth. We read in the book of Titus, He cannot lie. He cannot tell a lie. He is truth. He is the standard for truth. He is the object of worship. All true worship must have a proper object. That object is God. He is the subject of worship. And He is the standard of worship. Worship, again, being in truth. He is not only a God of truth, He is referred to as the true God. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 10, and we'll read verse 10. But the Lord, He is the true God. He is the true God. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, we read concerning the Thessalonian saints that they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. God is truth. Whatever is contrary to God, whatever is opposed to God, is falsehood, it is incorrect, and it is error. That's very simple. True worship must be in agreement and in conformity with the person of God. Again, Jesus said in John chapter 4, God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. That is, you must worship with a spiritual nature because it conforms to the nature of who we worship. God is truth. Therefore, we must worship in truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He said very plainly in John 14:6, I am the truth. We read in John 18 and verse 37 that He spoke of the truth, or He revealed the truth. Jesus Christ is the full revelation of God. And whatever is contrary to Jesus Christ is falsehood. It's incorrect. It's error. So true worship must be in agreement, must be in conformity with Jesus Christ. There can be no true worship absent of Jesus Christ. And there can be no true worship where there is a denial of Jesus Christ. And there can be no true worship where there is opposition to Jesus Christ. Because worship must be in truth. And Jesus Christ is truth. Now notice in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 23 and verse 24. There are many today who flat out deny Jesus Christ and stand opposed to Jesus Christ, and yet they claim to worship. But worship must be in truth. and Jesus Christ is truth. 1 John 2, verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, doesn't matter who it is, whosoever denieth the Son, the same, that is, the one who denies the Son, has not the Father. Now, that's pretty plain. You deny the Son, you do not know the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, so shall ye continue in the Son and in the Father. Notice verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Now that says more than this is a denial of his person. Not necessarily a denial of his existence. Because a lot of people will say, well, we believe Jesus lived and he was a good man. But that this says more than that. This says that you cannot deny that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the sent one of God. If you deny or stand opposed to the fact that Jesus Christ is sent of God, you cannot truly worship. In fact, it goes on to say he is Antichrist. That makes sense. If you're opposed to Christ, you're Antichrist. Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The two are connected. You cannot deny one without denying the other. 1 John 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, sent of God, the body of flesh, is not of God. That spirit is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So worship must be in truth. God the Father is truth. It must be in agreement and conformity with God the Father. Jesus Christ is truth. True worship must be in conformity with Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us that the Holy Spirit is truth. Notice in John chapter 16, John chapter 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He's not going to guide you into error. He's going to guide into truth. Notice 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read the 6th verse. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bear witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. God is truth. God the Father. God the Son is truth. Worship must be in truth. Therefore, every aspect of worship must be in agreement and conformity with the Godhead. Now, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead contrary to God. He is not going to lead contrary to Jesus Christ. His leading will always be in the direction of truth. So true worship must be in agreement with the Godhead. Again, God is the object of all true worship. and you cannot truly worship God void of the truth about God. That if a person stands opposed or is contrary to God, that disqualifies it as being true worship. Also, true worship, not only must it be according to the truth of God, God is the standard for truth. True worship must be according to the truth of God's Word. God, again, is the standard of truth. And that standard, God's standard is revealed by God in His Word. How do we know the standard for truth? By reading God's Word. God tells us everything we need to know in the Word of God. The Bible is not the erring opinions or philosophies or reasonings and ideas of mortal man. It is the very words of God. The very words of the true God. So if worship is to be in truth, we must be concerned with who God is. And we must be concerned with what does God say in His Word. Now you think about all the philosophy behind the whole mega church movement. There is a denial of God. There is a denial of God's Word. And they basically come right out and say, we remove God from worship, we remove His Word from worship. You don't worship. It's not possible. Because worship must be in truth. Now, the Word of God, of course, is referred to as the Word of the Holy One, Isaiah 5, verse 24, the Book of the Lord, Isaiah 34, verse 16, the word of His mouth, Jeremiah 9 and verse 20. In Romans 3 and verse 2, it's referred to as the oracles or the utterances of God. As such, again, God is truth. God cannot lie. God cannot deny Himself. Therefore, everything God says is truth. God reveals truth through His Word. The psalmist declared the truth of God's Word. In Psalm 119, you know, there are a lot of individuals today who claim to worship and yet at the same time doubt or call into question or even stand opposed to the very Word of God. This is the whole spirit behind all the translations. It is an attempt to remove and to water down what God says. You do that, you can't worship. Psalm 119, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and Thy law is the truth. People today say, oh, I don't want to hear about God's law. God's law is the truth. You cannot stand opposed to the law of God and worship the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are truth. All Thy commandments are truth. Verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. Thy word is true. And again, if we're going to worship in truth, we must believe that. We must have that conviction that God's word is true. Daniel 10, verse 21, it is referred to as the scripture of truth, or the writings of truth. 2 Timothy 2, 15 and James 1, 18, it is referred to as the word of truth. And Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17, thy word is truth. Worship must be in truth. Therefore, it must be in agreement and conformity with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if it's in conformity with them, it will be in conformity with His Word. If it is not in conformity with His Word, it's not in conformity with God Himself. And therefore, it ceases to be true worship. The Bible has the Word of God, just like all truth, as we've already said, is settled. It is settled. It is sure. It is immovable. It is in perfect agreement with God. It is in perfect agreement with who God is. It is universal. You can take it wherever you want in the world, and it is true to every single culture. It does not have to be adapted. It does not have to be adjusted in order to fit in. It's truth. Therefore, it is correct. It is accurate. It is unwavering. It is unshakable. It is unfailing. And it is absolutely reliable. And all worship is to be in accordance with the Word of God. The Word of God is so true that whatever is contrary to it is false. Notice in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah 8, verse 20. Again, this is our standard. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3. We'll read verse 4. Romans 3, verse 4. Well, let's read verse 3. For what if some did not believe? We've already seen that if we believe not, yet he abideth. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. That is, does their unbelief change truth? Does their unbelief, does their opposition change God? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. That is, whatever is not in conformity with God's a lie. Whatever is not in agreement with God is a lie. Worship must be in truth. Worship must be according to the Word of God. Now, the Bible is a declaration and revealing of God's way. And in order to worship, in order for worship to be true, it must not only be for God, it must be done God's way. People say, well, we're not really that interested in truth. All we're just here for God. You can't separate the two. You can't separate truth from God, because the Bible says God is truth. So if you separate truth from God, you no longer have God. So it's not just we're doing it for God. You have to do it God's way. That is, it must be in accordance to truth. In order for worship to be true, it must be according to the dictates of God's word. Well, this is a very... This people over here, they're ignorant about God. They're ignorant about truth. They don't even really want truth, but they're very sincere people. And they're very well-meaning people. But regardless of how sincere someone might be, regardless of how well-meaning a person might be, worship must be in truth. Sincerity and meaning well does not replace truth. Just like there's nothing to replace spirit, there's nothing to replace truth. Worship must be within the bounds of spirit and truth. So, one cannot worship God apart from truth. What this means is that worship is not left to the devisings of man. This is clearly seen in the Old Testament, in the ceremonial law. This is clearly seen in the building of the tabernacle. This is clearly seen in the construction of altars in the Old Testament. Remember in Exodus 20 and verse 25, man was not to lay a tool to the altar. If he did, he polluted it. He defiled it. Well, I just want to make this one little niche here. Can't do that. God said, you do not lay a tool to it. Exodus 25 and verse 40, in the building of the tabernacle, remember God took Moses up into the mount, showed him the pattern. And then in Exodus 25 and verse 40, he told Moses, everything must be according to the pattern. Did God just show Moses the pattern and then leave Moses to do whatever he pleased? Of course, that would be foolish. He gave him a pattern. He said, now Moses, follow the pattern. And that's the problem today. People do not want to follow the pattern. But worship must be in truth. Read Leviticus chapters 1 through 5. In those chapters, you have the laws of the feasts and the offerings. And in those feasts and offerings, God gets very particular on how it was to be done. Look at the, I believe it's in Leviticus, look at the recipe, if you will, for the anointing oil. It had to be exact. It had to be exact. There was no eyeballing. It had to be exact. It had to be according to God's way. And it's no different today. Worship must be in truth. The seriousness of not following the dictates of God's word is illustrated in Nadab and Abihu. Remember, they were sons of Aaron. And notice in Leviticus chapter 10, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord. Now notice, they were offering it to the Lord, which he commanded them not. They came up with their own recipe. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. We ought to be thankful that God doesn't kill everyone that worships falsely. We'd have died a long time ago. But we see the seriousness. And God puts this in His Word to show us the seriousness of not following the instruction of God. Well, it just, if you're sincere. Well, I believe Nadab and these two men, Nadab and Abihu, were perhaps sincere. Perhaps they meant well, but didn't replace the truth. It didn't replace what God said. We think about Israel. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was taken captive by the Philistines. David was led of the Lord to bring the ark back. But notice in 2 Samuel chapter 6, things went terribly wrong. And the reason they went wrong is because they did not follow the instruction of God. The instruction of God was that the Ark of the Covenant could only be carried by staves by the Levites. Well, when the Philistines captured the Ark, they built a cart for it. God didn't do anything to the Philistines for building a cart for the Ark. Then God's people tried to do the same thing. Didn't work. And what are today the mega churches trying to do? They're trying to emulate the world. Trying to emulate the world's ways. Trying to emulate the world's business philosophies in church. Well, it might work for the world, but it's not going to work in the Lord's work. And this is so clear here in 2 Samuel chapter 6. But I want you to notice that nothing... Well, first of all, in verse 3, they set the ark of God upon a new cart. And I believe they were proud of that cart. Oh, look how nice it is. We've gone through all this trouble to build this cart. Brand new cart. So they violated the instruction of God. But notice, nothing could replace what God said. God said the ark must be carried with staves. No man was to touch the ark. That's why they would use the staves. Verse 1, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel. The very best. David gathered the very best of men. He had quite a crowd. All the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. 30,000 people. To do what? To bring the Ark of the Covenant back. So this is an impressive crowd. I mean, these are the chosen men. 30,000. So you have a very impressive crowd. The problem is you have this new cart. And that new cart is in violation to what God has said. Verse 5, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord. They were playing music and they were doing it for the Lord on all manner of instruments. So they had the very best of people. They had a large crowd of the very best of people, 30,000. And they had a musical program. The music was wonderful. None of this replaces the fact or does away with the fact that they put that ark upon a new cart. And you can have a crowd. You can have the finest looking people. Important people, and you can have the finest music program, and again the mega churches, what is it that they put the emphasis upon? The music. You can have all of that, but it does not do away with the fact that you have a new cart. You've gone against what God has said. Well, again, we see that they're going, everything seems to be going fine. And all of a sudden, the cart perhaps hit a hole, and the ark began to shake. And a man by the name of Uzzah thought the ark was going to fall, so what did he do? Good intentions and well-meaning, he stopped the ark from falling, he touched the ark. None of that would have happened if they hadn't put it on a new carpet. It all the problem, the whole problem is, the whole problem is that new carpet. That's the whole problem. The whole problem was they didn't do it God's way. And with Uzzah, again, no one can convince me that Uzzah did not mean well when he stopped that ark from falling. That he did not have good intentions. But you read verse 7, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Children of Israel then became afraid of the ark of God. Many years later, they would again retrieve the ark. But guess what? This time, they did it just as God commanded. And everything went smooth. So, from Leviticus chapter 10, from 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see that nothing can replace. Good intentions can't replace truth. Music can't replace truth. The finest new carts cannot replace truth. It cannot be replaced. You cannot worship without it. So in closing, worship is so sacred. It is so important that God has set boundaries around it. These God-set boundaries, spirit and truth. True worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. These boundaries are so exact, so distinct that they mark the difference between true and false worshipers. Jesus declared, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, in truth. That preposition in, that means enclosed and surrounded by. We worship enclosed and surrounded by spirit. That is a spiritual nature. And we worship enclosed and surrounded by truth. These are the God-set boundaries. They are just like, they are fixed, they are established. They cannot be moved. There is no other way to worship the Lord. They that worship Him must, no other way, worship Him in spirit and in truth. So sincerity, good intentions, tradition does not replace spirit and truth. So all worship, every aspect of worship, and we've looked at many aspects of worship. Every single aspect of worship must be in truth. Everything. It's not just about how a song sounds or how a song makes you feel or how preaching sounds or how preaching makes you feel. It's the truth. It's the truth. We need to carefully examine. Are we worship in agreement and in conformity with truth? Because again, it cannot be true worship absent from truth. And that immediately, people get up in arms. Well, who's to say what truth is? We've already established that. God. I'm not the standard for truth. You're not the standard for truth. This church is not the standard for truth. God is the standard for truth. So who's to say what's true? God. But therein lies the problem. People do not want to listen to God. But he's the standard for truth. And he also happens to be the object of worship. And you cannot worship God arguing with him. I mean, that's utter foolishness. And there are people who argue with God in their mind and in their heart all through a worship service. You're not worshiping. You cannot worship and argue with God. Word of God is preached and it's black and white. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you can't worship opposed to God. It can't be done. Worship must be in spirit and in truth. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.